Yeah, it's a really a privilege for me to be speaking with you this morning. Toe ek in hoërskool was, het meneer Boonzaaier met ons geraas oor dat ons soveel Engelse woorde in ons Afrikaans ingebring het. En ons as klas het gevoel, dis ons plig om hom daarvan te oortuig dat die wêreld besig is om een taal te word. Afrengels. So, ek gaan vir oggend in Afrengels spreek. We do have a couple of people in church that do not understand Afrikaans well, but I do love Afrikaans, so I'm going to ask you to be gracious to me. Ja, so, laas week was massive. Dit was vir my was dit heavy geweest. En vir die wat dalk dit gemis het of van die besoekers, last week we had some leaders in the church family that confessed to sin that they had in their lives. En so toe ons as elders by mekaar gekom het, het ek gesê dat ek wil graag ek het gedink om weer te praat oor digging for treasure en iets wat ons, een thema wat ons mee bezig was die afgelopen jaar. En die elders het toe iets anders gevoel. En I'm so thankful for a community of leaders and that I don't listen to myself only, but that I have people around me. Because as I was preparing along what they were feeling, I actually got the sense that that was what the Lord wanted to say. And so the question, and I think it came up this morning when Tom spoke, is you and I are called to something. We are called to a person. We are called to intimacy. And that intimacy is sometimes broken. And that's what we saw last week. En so die vraag is, hoe kom ek van die plek af, waar daar hierdie break was, waar daar hierdie sonde in my lewe was, waar ek hierdie misstap gehad het, waar ek hierdie weight van guilt op my skouers het, hoe gaan ek van die plek af na 'n plek van worship? Na een plek van intimiteit, waarvoor die Heere ons roep. En so, Micah 7, vers 9, André, I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him. Until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me, he will bring me out to the light. I shall look upon his vindication. I will bear the indignation of the Lord. Iets van om die gewig te dra. Die weight van, joh, Here, ek het die hart gebreek. So ek wil vanoggend en ek het gevra dat die wat kan hulle Bybel sal bring. And it's quite simple. I'm sorry to break it to you, you will sin. And as we dive into the life of David, or specifically Psalm 51, you know, I remember well in the book of Samuel, a young boy like these guys here, worshiping and writing psalms of worship. And then a king that commits murder and adultery. So today is important because all of us have stumbled and all of us will stumble again. But how do we get to that place where we restore that intimacy with the Lord? And so I want to look at, you can turn to Psalm 51. So the backstory is, and we know it, all know it very well, is that David is king. And the Bible tells us that instead of going to war, he is on his porch and he's watching and he sees Bathsheba and he lets her come to him. And he sleeps with her, she gets pregnant, and he tries to deceitfully get her husband Uriah to go to him, to go to her. He wants to hide the sin. And eventually, if his plans doesn't work, so he gets Uriah killed. And one of the most significant things, or one of the maybe understated things in the Bible, is that the Bible simply says, the thing that David did displeased the Lord. And the prophet goes to him, and David breaks down and says, I have sinned. I have done wrong. And so he writes Psalm 51, basically in that turmoil, in that, all of that. To the choir master, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet went to him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy on me, O God, according to the steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it, and you will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. Yeah, so it's a beautiful psalm, and it comes from a deep place of brokenness. And I really want to just highlight a couple of things. David obviously is a man of God. God loved him, says so in Scripture a couple of times, and he commits this heinous sin. But there's something beautiful about how David goes about dealing with his sin. And I want us to just look at a couple of things. The first thing is David throws himself on the mercy of God. He says in verse 1 and 2, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He realizes that there is no way he can clean himself. And he has done this heinous crime, and there is nothing he can do to undo it. There's nothing he can do to lessen the guilt, the feelings that he is experiencing. And he knows that there is only one place he can go. There's only one place he can run, and that is into the arms of God. And you know, that's one of the challenges that you and I have as sinful human beings. And that is somehow we think we can carry that weight. Soos wat Retief Burger in een van sy liedjies sing. Soveel keer het ek geval en my eie laste self probeer dra. That we think that we can carry that weight. We think that we can carry that burden. In the Middle Ages, there was a group called the Flagellants. In the Middle Ages, the Black Death was sweeping across Europe and literally wiped out the big majority of Europe. And the Flagellants believed that the Black Death was because of sin. It was a judgment of God. And so what they did is they walked from town to town and they whipped themselves on their back till the blood came down as an effect of we are carrying, this is how bad we think our sin is. And you know, you and I do the same thing. We don't whip ourselves, no. But when we've sinned, we wear long faces for long times. Everyone must see that I feel bad for my sin. And I'm in a depro for weeks and weeks. And after I've actually only forgotten my sin, then the joy returns. So it's like that whipping that the flagellants do. I'm just punishing myself. Hoe kan jy so dom gewees het? Hoe kon jy toegelaat het dat jy dit doen? But the Lord is not like that. Psalm 145, verse 8 to 9. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all and has mercy over all that he has made. That is who he is. That is who he is. It's not something that like an attribute that he has. He is merciful. He is kind. He is good. Yes, he hates sin. Yes, he doesn't want us to sin. But he's gracious. And you know, his desire for you and me is to be free from our sin. And his judgment on sin and the weight that he puts on the sin is because he sees the destructive effect that sin has on us. Lamentations, I think it's a book that very few of us read. But Babylon in 586 BC came, Nebuchadnezzar came and basically destroyed Jerusalem, killed a lot of the Israelites, and some people were taken away. And Lamentations is really a book that talks about the grief, the confusion, and destruction. And he's literally walking around and seeing the devastation. And he knows that that devastation has come about because we sinned against the Lord. And he's broken. He says crazy things like, he has made my flesh and skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. He has made my teeth grind on gravel. That is what it feels like You ever been in that place? Discover that thing that you actually didn't, that you forgot. And one day the Holy Spirit blows on that thing and it just feels as if your world is crumbling as that weight of guilt comes down. Maar dan maak Jeremia 'n wending. Lamentations 3 verse 21. But this I call to mind and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Isn't he amazing? You and I can have hope, not because of us, but because of him. It's because he's faithful. We're wrong, we mess up, but he is faithful. And he says here, he looks at this destruction. He looks at the chaos that Israel's sin has caused. But he says, in this I will have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And you need to know that this morning. God's steadfast love for you will not cease. You have not committed a sin that is greater than David's. There is not a sin that he cannot forgive. And so, you know, I wrote here, I have on my music box, I have a couple of songs that it never leaves. I never remove it. It's always there. And one of them is an odd song by Delirious. It says, what would I have done if it wasn't for Jesus? What would I have become? What would your life look if you didn't know Jesus? And that's the grace of the Lord. He not only gives us his grace and mercy and his never-ending love, he gave us his son. And David knows that. And he grabs hold on to that he has done something so horrific, but he has no other place that he can go than to the mercy of God. And you need to hold on to that in that dark day. The second thing is, David does not lessen his sin. You know, we do one or two things when we commit sin. Like we said previously, we try and carry it ourselves and we get broken, weighed down, depressed. The second thing we do is, we make less of it. Nee, maar as jy nou die omstandighede in ag neem. Maar laat ek net vir jou die konteks verduidelik. Of erger is dit. Kyk, ek het dan nie dit gedoen nie. So asof daar 'n ranking is. David does not make less of it. Verse 3. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. David kruip nie weg nie. Hy soek nie verskonings nie. Hy gee nie konteks nie. Hy sê, Here, ek is skuldig. en wat ek gedoen het, is ongelooflik. Dit het u gebreek. Dit het u hart gebreek. En ek is skuldig. He does not try to lessen it. He doesn't try to soften it. He doesn't try to color in on the sides. And he says something interesting. He says, against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. En jy wil amper vir hom sê, David, dink nou net gou weer 'n bietjie oor dit wat jy sê. Wat ons net mooi weer aan die situasie evalueer. Bathsheba, Uriah, ek dink hy's dood. Maar as jy David verstaan, dan is het nie dat hy daai mense se pyn ignoreer nie. As jy onthou hoe hy toe hy in die grot weggekruip het, self skuldig gevoel het, toe hy net 'n gedeelte van die pand van Saul afgesny het. It's not about that. There's something deeper here. And so imagine if one of you would do an incredible painting. A Van Gogh of a Rembrandt type van skildery hierso en almal van julle is in awe. En ek vat hierdie skildery en ek sê, Jaco, hierdie is vir jou. Wys dit vir mense. Wys vir mense hierdie ongelooflike ding. Wys vir mense die beauty van dit. En Jaco nooi mense in en hy wys vir mense die skoonheid van hierdie skildery. En eendag kom ek in. En vir een of ander simpel rede dink ek, dit sal 'n goeie idee wees om haasoortjies met 'n pen in te teken. En Jaco wil my keer en ek gryp sy hand en ek breek sy arm. En ek teken die haasoortjies in. En na die tyd voel ek skuldig. Het ek Jaco seer gemaak? Definitely. Ja. Maar die persoon wat daai ding geteken het, I've marred what he's done. I've broken his design. I've destroyed his picture. And that is what we do when we sin. Yes, we do sin against people. Yes, we wrong people. But we literally break what God's design is. And so that is why David says, against you and you only, because he knows what he's done. God's design and beauty has been marred. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity. Dis nie dat David kom en sê, maar Here, jy moet net onthou, dit was 'n lang lewe. Eintlik was ek 'n goeie mens vir die grootste gedeelte daarvan. Want dis hoe ons dit baie keer doen. Is, kyk, ek is dan 'n goeie pa en ek is getrou by die werk. Of ek het nie groot sondes in my lewe nie. Kyk, daar is so 'n bietjie cheating met my belasting. En, maar dis dit. Goeie mens. But he says, I was brought forth in iniquity. You see, the thing is, for you and I to stand before God does not mean that you have to be perfect now. It means that you had to be perfect your entire life. And that is why when the sacrificial system came into place, God says, you bring a lamb without blemish. Because my son will be without sin. And you and I, no matter how hard we try, jy kan dalk by jou ma se baarmoeder uitgekom het en geskree het, halleluja! You were brought forth in iniquity. En as jy my nie glo nie, kry kinders. You know, it's good days and bad days. I don't know about you, but I have them. And so often I have a good day and I speak to someone about the Lord, or I sense something about the Lord and I tell the people about it. And I get at night in bed and I feel good. I've been a good Christian today. Prayed, read my Bible, did everything right. Lord, staticky. And then I have that bad days where it seems like everything I touch is sin. And I wonder if I'm saved. You know, we cannot balance out God's grace with our good acts. It's not a scale. The weight of the cross, you cannot put anything on the other side to balance it. And so, David knows this, and that's why he doesn't hide it. Because he knows he is in desperate need. And he knows that he needs to be honest with the Lord. Third thing, David wants to be healed. En dis waar ek en jy, almal van ons, vanoggend moet wees. Want weet wat, dalk is daar nie iets groot in jou lewe nie, maar elkeen van ons sit met krake hierso. And you know that word that we used at the beginning, intimacy, is a tricky word. Because it encompasses so many things. Dit vat soveel dinge saam. Dit gaan oor om dat ek weet alles van die ander persoon. Dit gaan daaroor dat ons saam lag, dat ons saam kuier, dat ons vriende is, dat ons saam kan huil, dat ek teregwysing kan vat. En dat die Here vir elkeen van ons op 'n plek van intimacy en dat daai plek van genesing, dat die Here daai plek van genesing vir elkeen van ons bring. Selfs die klein goedjies, selfs jou ongeduld. Selfs die manier hoe jy met jou vrou praat. And what David does is he uses imagery from the Old Testament. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hyssop was used in cleaning rituals. So you can read about it in Leviticus 14. It was part of the cleaning ritual with lepers. And then as well as in Numbers 19, when a person was in contact with a dead person, hyssop was used in that cleaning. So David's mind goes to the cleaning. And one of the most significant thing is in Exodus 12, verse 22. When the Lord commands Moses and he says, take a hyssop branch and dip it in blood and put it on the doorposts. And so David has this image of cleaning via hyssop. And he says, Lord, do that in my life. And David knows that there's something more that is needed. He speaks about being washed. Wash me and I shall be clean. Purge me with hyssop. But he knows that there is a deeper work needed. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. He knows that he doesn't want a face paint. Hy wil nie net aan die buitenkant mooi wees nie. David weet dat daar is 'n transformasie van sy hart nodig. Want aksies kan reggestel word. Gewoontes kan gevestig word. Maniere van doen kan verander word. Maar as jou hart dieselfde is, then you've not changed. And that's why when we speak about repentance, true repentance, it's not about feeling sorry about it, but it's a 180 degree turn. And stop doing that, which is destroying your life. And what that needs to do is that it needs to come from a place of a heart that is transformed by God. Verse 6, he says, "Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. You teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Verse 12, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." He knows. He wants to be in that place where the salvation of God is again his joy. Where he knows, "Lord, I'm saved." But he feels heavy. He feels what he's done is he's broken the trust of God. And he doesn't feel that joy of the Lord. And so often we are in a place where the feelings we have just overshadow anything of faith in our life. But David says that he wants to see that joy again. He wants to experience it again. He wants to again, like he did before, praise the Lord and give him all the honor and glory. And knowing that he has saved me. I am saved. And that's why in Luke 10 verse 17, I wrote badly. Luke 10, 17, the disciples come back to the Lord and they are overjoyed. And they say, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. We've got a ministry. Yes, ons het die key. Ons weet wat om te doen." En die Here sê, "Rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life." Have that joy to know that I'm saved. The good things you do, leave that to the Lord. But rejoice in the fact that you have been saved. So it's not about how much I have achieved, but it's about what Jesus achieved on the cross. And just again, looking at the cross. And this is iets wat Charles so goed gedoen het in ons geestelike familie. Is om te sê dankbaarheid en vreugde. Ek is seker daar is baie goed waarop jy kan roem. Ek is seker dat elkeen van julle kan hierdie maai kom vat en kan kom gevalle in jou lewe noem waar jy gestruikel en geval het. But I think it was Newton that said, "I am a great sinner, but I serve a great Savior." And that you and I have a great Savior. And that we have been beautifully saved. And to find our joy in that again. Vierde ding is dat David wil selfs meer hê. He wants fullness. He says in verse 13, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you." Nou, jy moet mooi dink daarso, want hy sê, "Then I will teach transgressors." So wat hy sê is, as die voorgaande gebeur, dan sal die volgende gebeur. So jy jouself afvra, is David besig om te bargain met die Here? Is hy besig om 'n ultimatum in die Here te maak? Om te sê, "Jy doen dit en dan sal ek dit doen." But you just have to know the heart of David that is not. He knows, David knows that he cannot do anything if it's not from a transformed heart. And that's why he speaks about, "Create in me a clean heart. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Let me hear joy and gladness. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. He knows that he needs a transformed heart. He says, Lord, do the transformation work. Do the changing work in my heart. And what then will outflow from my heart is that I will teach transgressors your ways. Is that the outflow is never before the changed heart. Is that God changes the heart. And then from a changed heart overflows into the action. Into the teaching of transgressors. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. O God of my salvation. It doesn't matter, you know, whether you teach apologetics and you are good at defending the gospel, and whether you are someone simple and you can only tell about your messed up life and how God saved you. You do that from a transformed heart. I do that because there is a story. There's a story, and then I go. And it's like Isaiah, that he sees the Lord with a train of his robe that fills the temple. And he has that moment that we've been reading about that David had. He realizes that he's undone. He's gone. And then the angel comes down and touches his mouth with the coal and says that you have been cleaned. Your sins have been forgiven. And Isaiah is like, I've been forgiven? And then the Lord says, who shall I send? And Isaiah is like, Lord, I've seen. I've experienced the forgiveness. I've experienced the fullness. And then worship comes in. Verse 14 and 15. I'm starting from that second part of 14. And my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Do you know what the four living creatures does around the throne of God? Worship day and night. Do you remember what the elders did when they saw the Lord? They fell down. And they worshiped. And David is in this place that he wants a spirit that worships, that praises. He wants to take part in the symphony of praise that's been given to God. But he doesn't want to praise. He's struggling to praise because the sin has broken his voice. The sin has stolen his words. And he cries out to God, oh Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. Restore your joy again, Lord, that I can praise you. He wants to worship. And he then does something interesting. He wants to witness. He wants to worship. He wants to take part. He wants to be that man again that dances before the Lord. And so his thoughts go to the priestly sacrificial system. What can he do to make things right? For you will not delight in sacrifices, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. So what can David do? I can bring a sacrifice. I can do something. I can bring something. But David, ek is net altyd verstom oor hoe David die hart van God verstaan. It's just incredible. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. He knows he needs rescue. And he knows that only he can do it. But he knows that his heart needs to break for his sin. That you and I are called to many things, but being broken before God is something so precious. Because when we are broken before him for our sin, for our faults, for our failures, for the things that we do wrong, it's then when he comes and he puts us back together in the image of his son. And David says, Lord, I can bring an offering, but I know that you require even more than that. You require a sacrifice of my heart to say, I'm broken. And that is, you know what, if you think about that, what was the point then of the sacrificial system? It was simply pointing to Jesus. That lamb that John says, behold, the lamb that will take away the sin of the world. It was a pointer to Jesus. And I'm going to skip over my last point, which talks about community, because I feel the Lord wants to work here. It's in the end, in Jesus, that we find our hope. It is in him that we are, because of his sin, not because of our sin, but because of his sacrifice, that we are freed. And so, I want to show you something incredible. Vriend Janet, kan jylle kom vir my? Jaco. So David's story is interesting. So what we have is, we have a powerful man, David. We have a person that is desired. And we have the person to whom that person belongs. And so the Lord opens up David's eyes to his sin. And so in the story, what ends up happening is the one to whom the person that is desired dies and takes the blame, takes the shot. And Nathan comes in and he says to David, David, I have a story for you. There is a rich man and there is a lamb that belongs to a man. And that rich man had people coming over and he didn't want to take someone from his own flock. So he takes the lamb. So in Nathan's story, who dies? The lamb dies. The lamb dies. And that is what we get in Hebrews. I didn't give it to you, Andre. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Die worship band kan opkom, Ramon, jy kan opkom. Since then, we have a great high priest, this Jesus. Omdat ons vir Jesus het. Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but who in every respect has been tempted as we are without sin. And then this. And this is where you and I want to land. That we have a high priest. That we have a lamb that gave his life so that you and I can be free of sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You and I have received much. We have received grace upon grace, as Scripture says. So let's close our eyes. Ja, ek voel net dat daar vir oggend mense is hierso. En soos wat jy geluister het, en you experience that desire. You want to be free.